Yo, what's up? Welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amala Benobi, and guess who's back today? It's Taylor.
What's up? Bonjour.
You're not going to play your sound, Taylor.
Oh.
We got it, guys.
We finally got it
programmed. Taylor is back from, you know, trouncing around France with his broken foot.
Yeah, crutching around, limping along.
Limping along in the Champs-Élysées. Guys, welcome back. Happy Monday. We're going to focus today's episode around, you know, the current month, June. And what is June? Also known as Pride Month to some people. We talked about and did a full episode on Pride Month. Why does it exist? Should it exist? You guys can check it out. That was last week's Monday episode. Today, we're going to be following up on that, talking about some news that has come out in the wake of this month, and just talking about kids going to drag shows, whether or not that's something that you would support. The Tampa Bay Rays having this idea that they're going to wear these pride shirts, and some of the players deciding not to. A coalition of radical leftist, feminist, gender theory workers and organizers talking about how the current gender theory and the current way that we react to gender theory is all about colonization, and us right-wingers who are against the gender theory stuff are just colonizers who need to be taken down. So we'll react to some videos there. And at the end, we'll sort of follow up. I'm going to look at a community post that I put out this morning about whether or not you would be happy with kids going to drag shows and whether or not you deem that to be abusive or a form of child abuse, because a lot of people on the internet are having this debate as we speak. If you guys want to go and comment on that community post, it is up on my channel. It already has 8,500 votes, so go put in your voice, and in the comments down below, tell me how you feel about the subject matter, because I want to go through and read your thoughts. Now, let's start off with story number one. This is from Christopher Rufo. Chris Rufo, we have his Twitter on the show quite often because he first stepped into the CRT game saying, let's expose critical race theory. Let's show what schools are teaching it. Let's show how they're teaching it. And I'll show you the curriculum with their own words. You don't have to trust my words. Just look at what they're doing and I will show it to you. Now, he's doing the same with gender theory. And a lot of these leftist coalitions who are working on gender theory and teaching it and having trainings surrounding it. So here is his Twitter thread. Scoop, a coalition of taxpayer-funded trans organizations has demanded that society, quote, decolonize the gender binary, provide cash reparations to, quote, gender nonconforming people, end quote, and affirm, quote, mustaches and big D words as authentic expressions of womanhood. Here is the story. Now, I want to get to video number one. I'm going to pull this up. A group of Washington State gender identity nonprofits, all of which work with children and receive public funding. Remember that. Public funding hosted a presentation series called Decolonizing Gender, claiming that, quote, the process of creating men and women actually is the process of genocide. Ah, here's the video. Let's see what our thoughts are.
We have to acknowledge that the center of the transphobic colonial order that we are talking about that has erased this history is warfare. And it is warfare against indigenous people. I have it here just as a trigger warning. It's very upsetting and pretty violent imagery, but it's also one of the most famous images of anti-Indigenous violence from the conquistadores. What's interesting is that people rarely talk about the fact that this is also an instance of transphobic violence, and one of the first moments that this order of transphobic violence is immediately connected to the war against Indigenous people and their...
Pause. Everything's colonialism if you try hard enough and if you search hard enough. Everything is about colonialism, and we have to decolonize every single piece of our country in order to fight these social issues. And they will trounce around and dig and dig and dig and dig and try to find information that backs what their thoughts are. And you have to look back really, really far. And I'm assuming what is being spoken about in this particular talk that they're doing is Native Americans, Indians, whatever you want to call them, that expressed sort of gender nonconforming, as we would call it today, sentiments, where you would have women who had very masculine features and masculine dress and men who had very feminine features and feminine dress. In some older tribes, this was known as being two-spirit, somebody who expressed both the spirits of masculinity and femininity in one body and was widely accepted by the tribes at that time. And in fact, those people who exhibited this two-spirit energy or nature or form were seen as more valuable to the society, were sought out for their wisdom, and were highly regarded in some of the tribes that they were in. Now, was this two-spirit thing very widespread? No. No, it wasn't, which is why we have to dig and find these things so we can piece them back together and go, well, look, and now it's happening now. I know that like 10% of your kids are identifying as trans, but look at these like two people back in history who were two-spirit, who then were met by the colonizers, and then who knows what happened to them, but we're going to say that, you know, we killed them in this sort of transphobic attack against them, but this justifies what we're doing now with children and young people and adults who are confused about their gender. All that justifies this, doesn't it? Doesn't it? No, it doesn't. And if you want to go back and talk about this, okay, this imagery is horrific. Killing people with dogs, horrific. A lot of the things that happened during colonization, horrific. But also, what was happening on these lands before the colonizers got there? Were there Indian tribes that were sacrificing each other, bloodletting, being cannibals, you know, cutting open people's wrists and giving their blood to the gods? Was that also happening? Were they eating children? Yes, no, maybe so. Yes, it was happening. So we can pick back into history and find so many atrocities and then try to reshape them, inform them, and mold them to fit the arguments that we're making today. But these are just historical facts that have happened and really bear no indication of where we are as a society today. Because I imagine there was not nearly as many two-spirit Native Americans running around as there is gender-confused and gender-nonconforming people running around today. Anything to add, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic case of just reading your modern ideology that was invented in the last 5 seconds into history.
Yep.
And if you need more evidence to that opposes this whole connection that he's trying to make, just look at the Maasai tribe that Matt Walsh just went and visited in Africa.
Yes.
That laughed in his face whenever he proposed to them the idea that a man could become a woman, or this whole trans, just anything to do with his trans ideology was laughable to them.
Right.
And so the idea that, oh, one cherry-picked instance in history that we found of this two-spirit thing that happened in some obscure culture is now justifies and vindicates this whole trans ideology and teaching it to kids and having taxpayer dollars fund these type of organizations to do so is beyond a stretch.
Yeah, you will find so many other civilizations that recognize the gender binary. It's not just this Western, the Western men brought it in and colonialized us. And I love this comment from Mark here. It says, try being trans in Africa and tell me how that's colonialism. Honestly, and yeah, we're hopefully going to have Matt Walsh on at some point to talk about his latest documentary, What is a Woman? But like Taylor says, he visits in Africa and he goes, does this exist anywhere near here? Or is anybody confused about their gender? No. No. We have men, we have women. And that's it. And just like the left will use two-spirit people to justify what they're doing now with gender ideology, they'll also use things like intersex. You've heard that before. When we say, no, there is pretty much a binary when it comes to sex, and the sex that you are born with is the sex that you are. Now, you can be a feminine man or a masculine woman, but that doesn't mean that you're not a man and that you're not a woman. And they go, well, what about intersex people? Because intersex people are in this limbo of the in-between, and even though there's only, you know, a very small percentage of people who are intersex, let's use that to justify the entire argument that we're making around gender theory. They will grasp at straws until they feel like they've got you. Now, I've just did like 5 minutes of commentary on 1 minute of this video, so let's keep watching.
Their cultural ways and their cultural values and their histories. And it is the... It is that process of creating men and women actually is the process of genocide. We would not.
You mean the natural process of we're born with a sex? I was born a woman, Taylor was born a man. That's genocide?
Not have the two genders that we have, if not for the massive genocidal project of eliminating and eradicating people who offer alternatives in our society. And so these are the facts that we need to establish about the gender critique.
And look what I just said. Would they use the intersex argument? There it is. Boom. Right in the middle of the screen. Intersex people are just as common as people with green eyes or red hair. Intersex people are treated as rarities or abnormalities because of ableism and patriarchy. No, I think they're treated that way because they actually are rarities and abnormalities. It is abnormal to be born intersex. It is an abnormal occurrence. that doesn't occur often. And I wish I had this graphic that Colin Wright shared on Twitter. I'll try to look it up as we're talking here, where he shows a graph of, if you are intersex, how much of a box, a small box, you fit into when compared to men and women being born definitively as a man or a woman. So come on now, guys. But like I said, I told you this is the argument that would be used.
That we have about the gender resistance and the legacy of gender resistance that we inherit. It is just as much part of the resistance to colonialism and the resistance to enslavement and the resistance to capitalism as it is the resistance to the gender binary, because all of those things are intimately connected. There are some facts to establish before we move forward. There is no such thing as male genes or female hormones.
I'm going to hop in there real quick, go out on a really, 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 really thick and sturdy limb and say that men and women have very different chromosomes and DNA that you can look at and go, oh, you're a female. Oh, you're a male. And while we do share hormones, like women have testosterone present in the body and men have estrogen present in the body, there's a lot of fluctuation between those two things when you actually look at a male body and a female body and you do blood work on them and you check the endocrine system. I'm going to have a lot more estrogen out on my thick and sturdy limb than Taylor is, I'm going to say. And Taylor's going to have a lot more testosterone than I will have in my body, hopefully.
You know it.
Let's finish this up and then we'll move on to some other ones.
Or a male body. In fact, there is an entire universe of different embodiments and body shapes and decisions that we make about our bodies and what we do to our bodies and how we use them and how we shape them that create different combinations that cannot be reduced to one of two for our entire lives.
Pause this, and this is where we'll end this one. They seem to think that having the structure of sex, man and woman, is somehow a thing that puts you in chains. Like you're in a straitjacket of whatever people view a man or a woman to be. It's actually far more liberating than that to look at sex as man and woman and go, yeah, I agree with that. Because guess what that means? That means that we can take a microscope to the word man and look at all the different ways that somebody can present themselves as a man. With those chromosomes, with those hormones, you can still be really feminine. You can be really masculine. You can be somewhere in between. You can be a man who likes to wear whatever you want and paint your nails, as we see in LA all the time. You can be a man who dresses really hardcore and looks like a lumberjack. You're all still men. Why does the word man have to make you feel like you're under somebody's thumb? It means nothing other than the fact that that is the sex that you were born with and it is the sex that you will die with. Same thing for women. You can be a super masculine woman who goes for her career, who never wants a husband, who does everything herself. She's a bodybuilder. She's on testosterone, whatever you want. I don't care. Still a woman. You are still born with the sex of a woman. You will still die with the sex of a woman. It's actually a much more liberating thing to accept the binary that we are in and accept the fact that you can present yourself within that binary as whatever you want.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking of like, okay, land and sea is another binary. That's objective reality. But that's not oppressing you. The fact that you can't float when you walk on water or you can't breathe underwater. Right. That's just a physical reality.
Yes.
And so it's not liberating to reject that idea that, you know, there's this, oh, the existence of mud is proof that we're really meant to have water and land together. Mm-hmm. And then that's all these things are just false binaries. And really, I should be having gill surgery so I can breathe underwater. Like all this. It's a stretch of a metaphor, but no more of a stretch than the shaky leaf branch that they're on.
Absolutely.
Trying to build this entire worldview. And again, I'm blown away by the fact that this is a taxpayer-funded organization. To me, this is they're talking about pseudoscience, pushing pseudoscience that has real consequence. That the ideas are fake, but the consequences are real. And it's just insane to me that like real tax dollars are going to this.
Yep.
Without us. And it's akin to like would taxpayer dollars be going toward an ideology like Scientology or toward gender conversion therapy,
right?
Something like that. Because this is just the other flip side of the coin. The ideas are not based in reality.
Exactly. We don't want it going either way, but we certainly don't want it going to this. So when you look at your paycheck and you're like, oh, get all that taxes taken out, it's especially if you live here in California like we do, think about just even one of your dollars going towards this discussion and going towards people who are doing this sort of work, not just for adults, but for young people. Here's one from the Black Trans Task Force. This is all on the same video call, I believe. I'm going to skip the one below that. You guys can go and check that out on the thread if you want to. But this young man talks about how he's so proud to be a woman with a big D word. Not going to say that on air because it's inappropriate. But let's listen to the second part of this video of him explaining his female persona.
For gender, myself, it's been a constant, you know, struggle under colonialism, not to accept and affirm myself, but to find acceptance and affirmation and understanding outside of myself.
Okay, I had to let him finish the sentence. Why? Why is it necessary? Shouldn't your life's goal, purpose, meaning, in at least one way, be to accept yourself as an individual and strive to be the ideal version of whatever that is for you? Why do you need other people's affirmation? Why do you need to take your ideology and force it onto other people who do not feel the same way that you do? Shouldn't your self-affirmation and your self-love be enough for you? Isn't that what we say to everybody? That at the end of the day, no matter what anybody else does or says to you, your self-love and your self-affirmation is the most important thing. And when you have that, you can walk through the world and be a boss and be confident and all this stuff, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does to you. But this ideology is contingent upon everybody else having to affirm the way that you view yourself. You coming in and going, well, I love myself in the mirror, but I don't love myself if you don't love me, and I don't love myself if you don't like exactly who I am, and I don't love myself if you don't move your reality to fit my reality. And how does that work? Because we all have different views of the world. We all have different values. We will never be subjected to one singular ideology that we all agree with and we all affirm. It will not happen. So that is why campaigns like this and revolutions like this never end, because you're always going to run into a person who disagrees with you, and they don't want this around until those people are gone, or at least made silent enough to where they don't hear them anymore. So you have to think about whether or not you are seeking your own affirmation of yourself, or if you are seeking for other people around you to affirm you. And if you are seeking the latter, good luck. From a very young age, I think I came to terms with the fact that not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody's going to like what you have to say. But at the end of the day, you got to be you, and you got to uphold your own moral values and your own musings and your own things that you think. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. That's what Taylor's going to do. This is not what this person's going to do. They're going to keep working until everybody else affirms their reality. And guess what? It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Doesn't work. Let's keep watching.
In a colonial society, I grew up loving myself very much, loving what I saw in the mirror very much, very euphoric about my future and my final form very much. It was colonial society that influenced me to hate myself.
The guy in the bottom corner, I can't. Taylor pointed it out before I even saw it, but like the...
Yes, queen.
I can't. Anyways.
To separate and fracture parts of my identity, to separate and fracture parts of my reflection and how I saw myself and how that self related to everything else around me and the relationship to myself and to the land. And I just wanted to speak that into existence because it's very real for me even to this day. I really see all gender dysphoria as being a product of colonialism. I definitely see it as being something, you know, central to myself and my own identity. I 100%, you know, want to still be able to look in the mirror and see every part of myself.
Okay, and that's when he starts getting into, I love my big ass, I love my D word, I love this, this, and that.
As part of my womanhood, he says. As part that, of, and you guys should celebrate it. As I'm looking at myself in the mirror, seeing all my male anatomy, that you guys should be celebrating that as my womanhood.
I get it. You know, I get the amount of... Actually, I'll say I don't get it. I don't get the amount of inner turmoil that you have to go through to experience something like this. Let's rephrase. I do not understand it. But am I fully okay with an adult who chooses to live this life? Yes. You go ahead and live your life that way. Do whatever it is that you feel like you need to do to make you happy. I will argue about the fact that it won't make you happy. And I would try to tell you that. But by all means, do what you feel is going to make you happy. But don't turn around and look at me and go, well, that should make you happy too. That should make you cheer for me. That should make you use the pronouns that I want to be called. And we're going to get into all the different pronouns that they feel like should be socially acceptable and accepted by everybody in this country. You don't get to turn around and compel the way that I live my life.
Right.
But by all means, do whatever it is you want to do. And that's fine. Just don't turn around and talk to me about what I need to do. Here's another video from this call.
That woman, even though I use trans femme, trans woman interchangeably all the time, you know, I take hormones so that I have breasts, you know, so I can appear whatever, a way so you can, again, interpret what my soul is. But if I were to tell you like, oh yeah, I want to be called non-binary trans femme my whole life. No, I don't. I just want to be called Randy, Aisha, you know, those, you know, whatever I want you to call me, you know, mommy, queen, daddy, if I want you to. I want to see people, you know, my young people, they, when I would bring up pronouns, they would come up with Wakanda. They would come up with Pokemon Trainer. They would come up with whatever was on their heart. And I was like, that is the world I want to.
It's honestly a cell phone in this video. Like, you ask a little kid and their answer to you is Wakanda and Pokemon. It goes to show that it's just whatever you feel in that moment, whatever a kid feels in that moment, you want them to subscribe to that and that to be their pronouns, whatever that kid feels. When we've been saying this for so long, well, when 5-year-old boys want to be Power Rangers and girls want to be princesses, or sometimes the boys want to be princesses and the girls want to be Power Rangers. Are we supposed to look at kids who tell us that and go, yep, that's what you are then, because that's what you feel in this very moment? You're actually robbing something, not only from yourself, but from children. Imagine if I stood here today and I went, guys, I'm going to take a snapshot of how I feel right now today, and that's the way that you're going to address me for the rest of my life. And I'm going to do that publicly, like they're doing publicly on this call right here. You've put yourself in a box and you've now said, this is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And you've done it so, so openly and so confidently that it's going to feel really bad to have to admit that that was ever wrong. It's something that I did with these fun little tattoos. Like, this right here is just like, I got this when I was 16 because that's how I felt at 16 and that's who I was. Now, if I hadn't had the enough self-strength to go, maybe I can go against this, guess what? I would have to look at this tattoo and support it for the rest of my life because it's something that I've branded myself with. And even if I don't support it mentally, or it starts to waver a little bit, or somebody puts a little chink in the armor of my ideology, because I've taken a snapshot and placed it on my body, that's who I have to be. So think about a young kid who goes, mommy, I think I'm a boy. And then they go, okay, let's put you on puberty blockers and hormone replacement therapy and sex reassignment surgery right now when you're 10 years old. So from 10 years old, you've effectively stopped their growing. You've taken a snapshot of what they believed when they were 10 years old. And now you're saying the 10-year-old thing that you just told me is what you have to subscribe to for the rest of your life. What have you robbed a child of in that moment? Everything. Existence. Growth. Learning. Questioning. Skepticism. You have robbed them of all their moments. And if you are successful in it in a way that they never get to question or they never get to skepticism, they'll never even understand what you robbed them of, because they are so subscripted to what they said at 10 years old that they can't even see past it anymore. So let's think about it that way. Let's think about the fact that you're putting an entire person's life on a new trajectory that never would have been set in place if some teacher hadn't told them about gender theory. That is what you've done. And this person talking about kids saying Wakanda or Pokemon for their pronouns is a perfect example of why this is inherently wrong to do to children.
You see, where we're calling ourselves cyborgs. We're calling ourselves whatever we need in order to feel good about ourselves. Like, why can't we just feel good about ourselves and affirm ourselves, and then people respect that? So yeah, I definitely think gender needs to go.
I used to identify as gender fluid, and I think I've been identifying more recently as a little bit more gaseous or plasma-like, like a different state of matter in terms of how I flow and turn around.
Just say like, dude, my name is Rob, and I'm a free-flowing person. Like, I go where the wind takes me. I love to be adventurous. I love to be spontaneous. Sometimes I present really feminine. Sometimes I wear masculine clothes. I like to change the color of my eyeglasses. You don't have to say, well, I'm gender fluid and plasmic and gaseous, and I'm not even a human being anymore. I represent a different state of matter. No. And honestly, you would be a really cool guy for just being like, I'm free flowing and I do whatever I feel like. And I style myself however I feel like. I talk however I feel in a certain day. And I'm confident with that. How amazing would that be? But no, we have to go into ourselves and we have to dig this hole and fill it with something fake and go, no, well, I'm gender fluid. I need to put a label on this. I need to put a label on this characteristic that I feel like I have that's different from other people. And I need to represent this marginalized group. No, just be whatever it is that you are. And know that that's the form of man that you are. And that's it. Why can't we just accept that? And it's the same thing that I said in the video that we did on Dylan Mulvaney from TikTok that blew up and all the leftists to the tunes of like 20,000 leftists coming after me with all these hate messages. All I said is, Dylan's a beautiful, happy, positive, talented person who happens to be a really feminine man. But Dylan is now convinced that he's a girl. But why can't Dylan just be this free-flowing, happy, positive, feminine man? Why not? Can somebody answer that for me?
Found in gender.
I know initially when the questions were sent out, the question was, is gender worth decolonizing? And does it deserve to be liberated from colonialism? I kind of struggled with that question. I felt it was tricky. And like Randy, I just want to live in a world where, you know, if I call myself a unicorn, I'd be that. And people will be well with that.
Guess what? If you are living through this world and you're calling yourself a unicorn and that's what you believe yourself to be, that is technically what you are to yourself. But again, do not expect other people to take on that reality for you. Be whatever it is that you need to be to get yourself through the day and to be happy with yourself. But don't turn around and enforce it on others. And we're going to get to this last video here. That is what you can do to move this fight forward. And it brings up the subject matter of reparations. Even though this is a taxpayer-funded organization, so it seems like you're already being paid by us to do this work. Let's listen to what she has to say.
To folks watching, I think another way that you can support people who are doing community work, if you have like access to generational wealth, if you're white and your parents, you know, like have like a savings account that is, you know, very much so connected to slavery and land theft, you know, pay people directly, give them the money so they can have the financial security.
She just said having a savings account is inherently attached to slavery and land theft and stealing land.
In order to rest and to heal and to connect with their communities in a way that they wouldn't have to because they've been working, because they've been doing this work. We've always been doing this work. So yeah, I think Randy brought this up before, but like pay that money, you know, reparations, like pay that money to us now because we need that. We don't have, especially for Black and Indigenous folks, we don't have like, you know, a safety net in order to take that time to heal. And it can be a privilege for some. So if you have those resources, share them. And, you know, let's all just, it's healing can also be like a collective thing too. It takes a
healing from what? Can you explain to me what you're healing from? In one of these videos, I don't know if we'll show it, but the previous trans woman before talked about waking up every morning to hear his ancestors screaming. That's what he woke up to every morning and he could hear it, and you can hear them screaming to him and shrieking out in pain and all this stuff, and that it's very emotional for him. It sounds like you have healing to do that we cannot take care of. And certainly our money towards your organization is not going to take care of the form of healing that you need. For the others, what do you have to heal from? Because to me, we've created a problem that should just not exist. If all the people who are talking about gender right now and talking about representation and transgenderism, if all of them just led their lives without any expectations of affirmation from other people, guess where we would be at as a society? We wouldn't have any problems. There would be no issues. And if you didn't go and then enforce it in schools and say, well, we need to teach kids about this stuff and we need to change their minds about how they view gender because they're the young ones who are going to grow up to change this worldview that we have. If you stopped doing that, we wouldn't have a problem. And you could lead your life however you want to, and you might get a look on the street like, oh my gosh, there's a man who's wearing lipstick or he's wearing makeup. It wouldn't be anything more than that. But because you want to inflict your worldview on other people, now we're in this battle of back and forth of going, no, I'm sorry, you can be who you want to be, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that for you. And that's it. So who started it? It's certainly not the colonizers. And it's certainly not Westernization, as you can view by going to virtually any other country and asking them how they feel about gender. It's going to be pretty similar to saying, yeah, there's men and women, especially if you go to any place in Africa when they want to talk about colonization. But that's it. That solves all the problems if you just stop and go, well, I'm just going to lead my life now, and I'm going to let things be, and I'm going to be who I want to be. Unbelievable.
Real quick, with all this talk about colonization, I saw someone in the comments said, these far-left activists are really have become the colonizers that they decry. And I thought that was a really good point, is that they have that their definition of how things should be, their way of life, and they are seeking to impose it on society. And they're saying, if you don't succumb to the way that we want you to think, the way that we want you to speak, the way that we want you to live, then we are going to stamp you out. You're a non-person. We're going to take you're going to censor you. We're going to silence you. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to shame you, use everything in our ability to erase you as a person. And that is effectively a form of colonization. They're doing the very thing that they claim is oppressing them.
You're actually, whoever commented that, absolutely right. Ingenious. And that's what they're doing. They're coming into your community where you've been living your whole life and just minding your own business and saying, well, now you have to do this. And 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 if you don't, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your livelihood. I'm going to try to cancel you in any way that I can. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to leave you hate comments. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to make it so that you can't go on the internet anymore. They are the modern day colonizers. And it's much like the conversation we have surrounding systemic racism. If systemic racism exists in America, it's because the progressive left has now inflicted it upon us by bringing in things like affirmative action and judging people on their race rather than merit, and looking at black people and people of color like they're stupid, and looking at white people as if they propose some sort of oppression on you. And yeah, same thing with this. You're the colonizers. That's exactly what it is. And if you just needed to see more evidence of this utter garbage happening in our society today, here's a video out of Dallas, Texas, probably one of the last places I would have expected to see this. This is a bar that was doing a family-friendly drag show, and a bunch of parents came and brought their kids, and this is what it looked like. I'm done. I don't want to watch anymore. This is drag queens dancing around like strippers in front of little children and children handing them dollar bills. I don't know how much more insane you can get and how much more evidence you need to say that this is happening. And for so long, we go through the same battle with every single social issue that we bring up. We saw it with CRT. So CRT it was, we're not teaching that in schools. It's a law theory. And then they go, oh, well, maybe we are teaching it in schools, but we're not teaching it in the way that black kids are oppressed and white kids are oppressors. And then we go, oh, you got pictures of the curriculum? It's not being taught everywhere. That's just a small fringe group of schools that are doing that. And they go, oh, well, you guys are stupid and delusional and you should subscribe to critical race theory. Now, with gender theory, we're not teaching gender theory in schools. It's never happened. We're not doing it. And we're certainly not sexualizing children. Okay, we are talking about gender theory and different sexuality, but only just to open these kids' mind and have these conversations. We're certainly not sexualizing them. And then they go, here's the pictures of the curriculum that we got where you have pornography being shown to kids. And they're like, oh, just a fringe school is doing that. It's not like that's the whole name of the movement. And then they go, oh, well, here's more evidence, more evidence, and more evidence, and more evidence. And then they go, oh, well, then it's good for children. Children need to see it. They're going to see it anyways. Children should be accepting and inclusive of this. And every battle we pick, it goes through the same cyclical back and forth until you reach the utter extreme of what this can be. And here it is. Kids going to drag shows, handing drag queens dollar bills, you know, and there's way more footage of this if you guys want to check it out. It's on Andy Knows Twitter. And the kids walking down, dancing with the drag queens, doing their little poses. And I want to see if you can see the sign back here in the beginning of this video, because it's disgusting. So you can't see the full sign here, but it says it's not going to lick itself in front of these little children. But we're not sexualizing kids. There's nothing wrong with this. It's totally okay. It's totally okay to have men dress up as this bimbo version of what it, this bimbo sexualized version of what it means to be a woman, dance around them like strippers doing the splits and have kids hand them dollar bills. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. And you have to think about this because a lot of people are going to come at this and go, well, no, that's fine. Kids can be taken to drag shows or whatever. And clearly it seems to be okay in Texas to do this. I don't know. Cause somebody DM'd me and said there's legislation against this. I'm sure it will come up at some point. But would this be the same if this was a regular woman who was not a man dressed as a woman, scantily clad, dancing while kids put dollars on her? Would that be okay with you? Would it be okay to bring your kid to a burlesque show or bring your kid to a clothed strip club where they don't show everything? Is that okay? But it's okay when a man dresses as a woman because we're being inclusive. We're being inclusive. That's what it is. It's just like that cartoon that I was telling you about before on the show where the guy, where this woman is like sitting at the bar and she's watching like a pornographic video and the bartender's like, ma'am, you can't watch this at the bar. And she goes, oh, I'm trans. And the bartender's like, go ahead, keep doing what you're doing. It's exactly what it is. This would never be acceptable under any other circumstance, but because it's Pride Month and we love trans people and we love drag queens and we love inclusivity, it's totally okay for somebody dressed like that to come and do the splits in front of a child who gives them a dollar bill. Guys, I don't know how much more I can say about that. And I have a feeling that anybody who watches this video knows that it's wrong and can feel that it's wrong. But there are people who will defend this till the day they die just because that's the ideology that they chose. You froze yourself in an ideology, you know, just like I froze myself at 16 with this tattoo. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to believe because you said it, you know, XYZ. You said it on that date. So now you have to follow through. And that's what is so wrong about this ideology is that if you don't subscribe to everything and everything all the time, you're out. You're done. You don't fully represent us. So people feel the need to say that everything's okay. And it's not okay. It's so clearly not okay.
It's not. And it goes beyond just the fact that it's inappropriate or even that it's introducing kids to a sexualized environment. This is introducing kids to the gender confusion and introducing them to at a very young age to the idea of transgenderism. And we know what that's a gateway to, as you laid out in your last special. Mm. And it's also teaching them to sort of not be threatened by an adult male dressed up as a woman who is behaving sexually dressed provocatively. And you're not supposed to have your guard up, kids. This is safe for you. This is a safe environment. Look how happy and fun it is. Yep. And that is what is especially dangerous and pernicious about these is it's not just that it's sexually inappropriate. Like you know, you listed a litany of other sexually inappropriate things, but this goes beyond that to a greater degree because it's exposing them to niche sexual fetishes and niche sexual identities or whatever, and it's teaching them to not have their guard up with adult men who are behaving in this way.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great point. Yeah, not only are you okay with it and is it normal, but you're paying them. You pay them to do this in front of you. How horrible of a lesson is that for young kids? And I remember being young. I don't remember when I was taken to my first Pride parade. You guys all already know I was a radical leftist, but I was a child when I went to my first Pride parade. Orlando is a very famous city for having Pride. And I remember, like, you watching the floats and everything, there are men dressed in virtually nothing, like wearing Speedos on these floats, dancing around, swinging all this stuff around, and they were throwing out candy and condoms at the same time. And I remember as a kid picking them up and putting them in bags as I was at this Pride parade and seeing just people dressed up in nearly absolutely nothing, literally a loincloth to cover up what they had going on as a child and seeing other children there. And anything can be done in the name of Pride, right? You can let your child see anything in the name of Pride. But if you ever found this on your child's phone, if you ever found this at your child's school, you would be livid. But because we slap a Pride sticker on it and go, this is inclusivity, it's suddenly okay. It's suddenly okay. And you have to think about how many children now are going to be going to things like this. I posted on my community page here on YouTube. I'm going to try and find it for you guys. A snapshot from none other than Fatherly, the magazine Fatherly. It's unbelievable. I'm going to try to pull it up. But they're talking about whether or not you should let your kids go to a pride parade and whether or not that is okay. And they're saying, oh, yeah, it's totally fine. And your kid's going to see a lot of sexual stuff. Here's the screenshot. Yes, you should take your kids to a pride parade, but have these conversations first. Pride parades and the pride festivals that follow are noisy and crowded. They're filled with sights that may be new to kids, like public nudity and kink. And here, right up here, yes, you should take your kids to a pride parade. Fatherly headquarters, about being a good father, is telling you to take your kids to a pride parade and let them watch sexual kinks and public nudity. Where are we at as a society? Where are we at? Now, I posited the question to you guys about whether or not this should be considered a form of child abuse on the community post. If you guys have not went and answered that poll yet, I urge you to do so. It already has 10,000 votes on it. Do you think taking a kid to a drag show is child abuse? And comment your full thoughts down below. 86% of you said yes, 5% of you said no, 6% of you said maybe, and 3% said I don't care. Now, I imagine there's a spectrum to drag shows. There are drag shows where everybody's fully clothed and it's just a man in silly woman blackface, basically, and he's trouncing around and dancing and lip singing. And then there are the ones like the video I just showed you where they're wearing no clothes and doing splits and stripping and all this crazy stuff. We have to have a conversation about whether or not that's child abuse. We have to have a conversation about what that does, because you would never allow your child to sit and watch pornography. You'd never take your child to a strip club. So why is it suddenly okay to watch grown men dress up as sexualized women and dance for them while they hand them dollar bills? It's not. It's because it's not okay. But if we put a veneer over it of pride and inclusivity and diversity and acceptance, then it is suddenly the thing to do. And I remember as a kid, not only did I go to pride parades, but I used to love watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And that was an extremely inappropriate show of men doing this same thing. And it's just wrong on so many levels. It's wrong in what Taylor said of making kids have just this very low threshold for what is, like, everything's acceptable to them. They can watch a man be sexual and in fact, pay them money. That's unacceptable. It influences them to be confused about their gender. It influences them to think that this is normal. It also influences them to think that this is a good version of what womanhood looks like. And how condescending it is to see a man dress up in as a basic bimbo with this fake butt and the big boobs and the crazy makeup and the huge lips and everything and go, yeah, this is me. This is me dressing up as a woman. There's so many places where it's wrong. And watching this all day, I've just been like, this is so irritating. And the fact that your taxpayer dollars are going towards organizations that are having these conversations with youth and with adults who organize and do stuff around this work, despicable. Despicable. So find out whether or not your money is going there. Here's a tweet that went out that got 145,000 likes. And you tell me if you think this is normal. Mom and Dad, I did it. I did it all by myself without you. And these are just mutilation marks from getting what is known commonly as top surgery, where you essentially lop off your breasts in order to affirm through presentation what your believed gender is. 145,000 likes on this imagery of somebody just literally mutilating somebody's chest to have them look like a man. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know. There's no other commentary really to give on that other than nearly 150,000 people think that this is a beautiful sentiment in today's current society. So when people ask you, why do you care so much? We're just leading our own lives. Why do you care? No, you're not. You know you're not. Because leading your own life looks like this is who I am and I love myself and I don't care what you think. That's what leading your own life looks like. But it's not that. It's this is who I am. I'm telling you I love myself even though I'm highly uncomfortable with the body that I'm living in right now and I'm majorly depressive and super anxious and super sad all the time, as we've seen with the stats and people's own firsthand accounts. And I'm telling you that you have to love my self-hatred. You have to love the mutilation that I'm bringing upon myself. And you have to love the new language that I've created that you now have to conform to. That's not the same thing as I'm going out in the world and leading my life and I love myself and I don't care what other people think. It's not the same thing. And teaching that then to children is even worse because children are vulnerable. Children cannot defend themselves. Children don't have the knowledge or the wherewithal to defend themselves. And children don't know what they're getting into when somebody teaches them this or when a drag queen man walks up and does a split in front of them. Children do not understand what that means. And I certainly, going to pride parades at whatever ripe young age I was, did not understand what was going on. And it was just sort of laughed about and pushed to the side. The fact that condoms were being thrown into the air to little kids mixed with lollipops and candy. Not okay. So to that fatherly article, maybe don't take your kids to pride parades. Maybe you can teach them and have those conversations at home and talk about it. And maybe you don't need to take them out to look at rainbow floats with men with no clothes on who are throwing condoms and contraceptives at them. Maybe don't do that. Now, the Tampa Bay Rays are coming into heat because of this LGBTQ stuff that's happening right now and all the pride stuff, because if you're a part of a corporation or a sports team or you work in a company who is pro-pride, you have to show it, right? It doesn't mean anything if you don't tell the entire world that this is what you think. Ideology means nothing if you don't tell everybody and make a huge display of your virtue and of your acceptance of people. And here's the headline out of CNN. Several Tampa Bay Rays players declined to wear LGBTQ logos on uniforms for Pride Night, reports say. So several players in the Tampa Bay Rays did not wear their LGBTQ logos on their uniforms for the team's Pride Night celebration during Saturday's game against the Chicago White Sox. According to the Tampa Bay Times, at least five Rays players, pitchers Jason Adams, Jalen Beeks, Brooks Raley, Jeffrey Springs, and Ryan Thompson, declined to wear the uniforms which featured rainbow logos on the caps and jerseys. Adam addressed the situation on behalf of the players who opted out, telling the Tampa Bay Times that it was a faith-based decision and wasn't judgmental. But it's going to be seen as such because you have to virtue signal. You have to show that you accept them. You have to. There will be chaos if you don't.
There will be CNN articles written about you if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, why is this news, CNN?
Why is this news? They didn't put a patch on their shirt. Why is this news? That is the question. And it's just like what we saw with Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, who we've had on the show. And we have an interview if you guys want to check that out. He decided not to wear his Black Lives Matter jersey when everybody else was doing it. He decided to stand up during the national anthem when everybody was kneeling. And that piece, the choice to opt out of something, was national news all over the place. Everybody had to talk about this person upholding what he believed and what he stood by. And it's the same thing here. This is national news that you've decided, maybe I don't want to wear that little patch on my shirt because it's not something that I believe in and it's not something that I take pride in, which is totally okay. So, and cheers for them. Good for them.
By the way, similar to Black Lives Matter movement, there's also the whole you don't know what you are endorsing when you put that patch on your shoulder anymore. You know, everyone posted the black square, and then next thing you know, buildings were being burnt to the ground and people were being murdered in the streets. And it's like, oh, and then it came out later that this organization is run by basically con artists who stole all the money and bought a bunch of houses and paid their relatives and stuff. And it's like, oh, well, I guess maybe that's not what I wanted to endorse when I posted the black square or used the hashtag Black Lives Matter. And to me, you know, whoever is behind this, what are you endorsing with this LGBTQ agenda? Right. What all am I saying I endorse? Is it gender affirmation care for children? Am I signing on to that by proclaiming Pride Month and celebrating all this? Be specific in what you're asking me to endorse, because I'm not just going to make these sweeping general like endorsements of things.
Exactly.
So it's not that they hate gay people or anything or want to deprive them of basic human rights. It's could just be that, hey, I want to be careful about what I am saying that I agree with.
Yeah. Also, it's like, not my job. Like, this is not my, this is not what I signed this contract for. In your contract for the Tampa Bay Rays, does it say every time a social issue comes up, you have to take the explicit opinion that is represented by the Tampa Bay Rays? Does it say that in their contract? No, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure it just says, you know, play the game. And do so to your best ability, and we'll pay you X amount. Just like it said for Jonathan Isaac's contract with the NBA. That's what you're hired to do. And it's weird that now working for any place, it seems, comes with this package of you have to represent XYZ alongside doing your actual job. Let people just do their jobs. And instead of just enforcing policing politics into everything that they do. It's got to be just exhausting. I got to imagine. It's just exhausting. So cheers to them for standing strong and by not putting on a patch, making national news. Now, guys, this has happened before. I don't know if you know it, but it's happened to
back in the 90s, year. Right?
Back in the 90s, it happened. And actually, a vicious street brawl came in the wake of this, and it's unbelievable. We're going to show the footage of this happening.
Cosmo, Kramer.
Okay, you're checked in.
Yeah, thank you.
Here's your AIDS ribbon.
No, thanks.
You don't want to wear an AIDS ribbon?
No.
But you have to wear an AIDS ribbon.
I have to?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to.
But everyone wears the ribbon. You must wear the ribbon.
What you are? You're a ribbon bully.
Hey! Hey, you! Come back here! Come back here and put this on!
Hey, where's your ribbon?
Oh, I don't wear the ribbon.
You don't wear the ribbon? Aren't you against AIDS?
Yeah, I'm against AIDS. I mean, I'm walking, aren't I? Just don't wear the ribbon.
Who do you think you are?
Put the ribbon on.
Hey, Cedric, Bob, this guy won't wear a ribbon.
Who? Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? So, what's it going to be? Are you going to wear the ribbon?
No, no, never.
But I'm wearing the ribbon. He's wearing the ribbon. We are all wearing the ribbon. So why aren't you going to wear the ribbon?
This is America. I don't have to wear anything I don't want to wear.
What are we going to do with him?
I guess we're just going to have to teach him to wear the ribbon.
That's actually behind-the-scenes footage of the Tampa Bay Rays locker room.
Those were CNN reporters that were chasing him down.
And you know what? I think on that funny note, I think that's where we close out the show for today. Let me know your thoughts on all the stories that we covered. Chris Rufo's expose on these trans organizations working on gender theory. The kids going to drag shows. The Tampa Bay Rays choosing not to put on the LGBTQ pride patch. And let's give a little love to Seinfeld in the comments down below as well. Guys, hit the like button. Or I'll teach you to hit the like button. You better like, subscribe, click the notification bell. Because I did it. I liked it. I hit the notification bell. You do the same. I will see you tomorrow. Bye, guys.